WNST, Towson, Baltimore. I'm trying to make a new entrance to this. Instead of saying welcome back, I'm going to say welcome home. It is our 25th anniversary. We are WNST Baltimore Positive. We're doing football coverage around here better than anybody. There's a reason they threw me out. We're going to find that out. There's a reason they let Luke in, so he can do his job as well. He was in the locker room. You'll hear all of that in Luke's locker room. You can find that out at Baltimore Positive. And, of course, if there's any breaking news on any of these crazy injuries this week, you'll get it first in the WNST Tech Service, brought to you by Coons Baltimore Ford. I'm holding lottery tickets. This is a Maryland Lottery scratch-off of the 50th anniversary. And they had a big doing out there at the State Fair on Friday night. I'll have John Martin on this week. But we're going to be at Fadley's on Friday from 9 until noon. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, our friends at Window Nation. I got my Window Nation shirt on, 866-90-NATION, and our newest sponsors at Jiffy Lube. Big thanks to Pete, Jennifer, everybody over at MediaWorks, Jody, everybody for making that happen. If you know any of them, say thank you. Jiffy Lube out. They changed my oil a couple of weeks ago down at Merritt Boulevard. They'll be changing your oil as well and filtering you and doing all that. There's no filter for me, but there is a filter for you, Luke Jones. And I guess we've done injuries. We've done the bad news, good news final. We've done this letter to Steve Bisciotti and John Harbaugh. We can do all of that, but boy, there's good news too here, right? Like Zay Flowers flashed. Lamar's still upright. Odell Beckham made a catch. Justice Hill's going to get a chance, right? Pat Ricard got some playing time in. Mark Andrews probably going to be back on the field this week unless they're lying to us, and they would never lie to us, Luke. We know that. There's good news here. They had a pass rush. I mean, Tucker made a field goal. What are the flowers in this beyond Zay Flowers, Luke?
I mean, you just laid it out. There's still a lot going for this football team. I think we want to walk a proper balance here between acknowledging, yeah, losing J.K. Dobbins is a big deal. You know, right? When you're talking about someone who you at least were entertaining the thought of signing long-term. I'm not saying that that was going to happen, but you lose your best running back. You lose that upside, as we talked about in some of our previous segments, and you're trying to fill that void, you know, and it's not just going to be Justice Hill. It's going to be a number of guys, right, as in terms of upside and trying to stay healthy at other positions. But you just laid it out. They're way better at wide receiver. You know, Odell Beckham didn't have a big day by any stretch, but did have the 29-yard catch that got everyone on their feet. You know, Rashad Bateman quietly had 35 receiving yards, 3 catches. Nice to see him for the first time since late October of last season. So, you know, you'll build on that. You'll get Mark Andrews back. But, yeah, you just said it. Two things. One, Lamar Jackson healthy, upright and on the field for the first time since early December last year, at a time when, let's face it, you weren't the only one who had significant thoughts about the possibility that that was the last time we were going to see Lamar Jackson, especially when we got into February, March, and April and how ugly and contentious it had gotten before they finally got a long-term deal done. But they have Lamar on the field. It wasn't his best performance. Clearly, you know, he throws the interception early on, had a couple fumbles, lost one of those. It's got to be better with the football. Certainly struggled to get into rhythm, as really the entire offense did. And I think pass protection was a big part of that. Had some issues with the blitz. But for me, my biggest takeaway, my most encouraging development from Sunday was really a continuation of what we saw all summer, Nestor. And it was Zay Flowers doing what he did. And with a rookie player, I'm always fascinated to see how they handle each checkpoint along the way, from the moment they arrive for rookie camp in early May to this point and beyond. You're always looking to see how someone handles those checkpoints. Real easy to look good during rookie camp. It's easy to look good during OTAs when you're practicing in helmets and shorts. It's easy to look good in training camp when, yeah, you've added contact to the equation, at least a little bit, certainly not full-blown contact like it was back in the day. But you're still practicing. It's still a controlled environment. There's still very little pressure on you. Yeah, the next step is the preseason, and we saw Zay Flowers making plays there in limited opportunities, specifically against Washington in that second preseason game. But you're always wondering how it translates at the next checkpoint, the next that next graduation moment where it's a little more real than it was before. And Zay Flowers handled that. He handled it really well. He made guys miss just like he had all summer on the backfields in Owings Mills, just like he did to the Washington Commanders last month. He did that against the Houston Texans. Now the challenge will be continuing to do that week in and week out, but I think it was evident. I mean, go look at the snap counts. Odell Beckham was on the field the entire time. I mean, he rarely came off the field. They had Isaiah Likely on the field a lot. They had not as much because Bateman and Aguilar kind of shared that number three wide receiver role, so to speak. But Zay Flowers was the go-to guy. You know, he was targeted 10 times, even though a couple of those were more of a run play. He carried the ball a couple times, and he moved the chains on third down on four different occasions. So he was Lamar Jackson's go-to guy. That's not to say he will continue to be once Mark Andrews is back on the field. And we talked about the fact that there wasn't a whole lot working over the middle of the field for this passing game. And I think that's one reason why it was so choppy, because we know that's where Lamar's lived over the years, him and Mark Andrews. I mean, it's been so
Well, the other part
dynamic.
Of this is going to be pocket awareness, pocket protection, time, letting things happen, Lamar seeing things, like all of these things. We haven't seen a whole lot of that from Lamar the last couple of years because he haven't had the wide receivers. They wanted to run the ball. They were in the phone booth with Greg Roman. All of this looks and feels different. I mean, I saw Bateman get involved. I saw Beckham mm-hmm. get involved, but you know, at the end of the day, a couple balls here and there. We did a lot of talking about the wide receivers. We're going to, and I would have predicted this from the beginning, we're going to do a lot less talking about it on those 3 hours on Sunday than we have the last 6 months, because he ain't throwing the ball 51 times. And if he is, they're getting their ass kicked, or they're winning 41-38. I mean, like, that's not the play, even though all the talking heads, wide receivers, the room, Nelson Aguilar, all the – how much are they going to want to throw, and then how well can they throw, and how often are they really going to go down the field, especially, and this week, they don't have Stanley. They might not have Linderbaum. They don't have Dobbins to open that part of it up. Their game's going to change this week just through health, and we've talked about that from the beginning. Health is going to change whatever we see on the field this Sunday, because it's going to look a whole lot different if that O-line's decimated.
Right, and that's why I think you look at someone like Zay Flowers, he could be even more important than he was this week, which is saying a lot, because he was their leading receiver. He had more touches than anyone out there. But if you have issues with your offensive line, and we even saw this against Houston. I mean, they had their issues against the blitz even before Stanley and Linderbaum get hurt late in the game. But ball's going to need to come out quick. And yeah, you can throw it to other guys, but Zay Flowers being that guy with his ability to make you miss, and that's why, you know, it's – not the same exact player, but the same kind of upside that a Dobbins brought you, because he could miss so many tackles, you know, break so many tackles. But you want to try to figure out ways to get him the ball in space very quickly. Ball comes out, means your quarterback's not being hit, means you're not taking losses in the pocket. And Zay Flowers has the ability to break a tackle and turn what looks like it could be a 2 yard loss into an 11 yard gain or even bigger than that. So
more elements of the Peyton Manning, Tom Brady kind of offense.
Right. Right. And you know, we've heard Todd Monken talk about this so much. And again, it doesn't necessarily translate to they're going to throw 45 times a game, but they do want to throw more. They do. They haven't shied away from that. But at the same time, what does it look like? That doesn't mean you're going to be seven-step drops and Lamar's just standing back in the pocket for 7 seconds. I think a lot of that is try to become a little more timing-based, ball coming out quicker. And what you need for that are some guys that can create, guys that can gain yards after the catch. And Zay Flowers is that guy. I think he has the ability to do that at every level. And you know, I don't know if it necessarily means the deep ball, especially if Ronnie Stanley and Linderbaum aren't out there for at least a short period of time. But he's the kind of guy that you can get the ball to. And Justice Hill, another example of someone I think that they'll try to do that with Dobbins being out of the picture now, where you get the ball out quick, keep your quarterback upright, you try to stay on schedule that way, and you try to see if guys can make someone miss and pick up yardage that way. I mean, one thing about the Greg Roman offense, whether you were higher on Greg Roman or not, very rarely did it have any semblance of yak. You know, you rarely ever saw yards after the catch in that offense. I mean, maybe Marquise Brown a little bit at his best. You know, we certainly saw it very early last year with Rashad Bateman as he took that slant against the Dolphins, but there wasn't much of that. It was generally find a window and Lamar completes it, and whoever catches the ball gets tackled right away. I mean, that's kind of what we've seen, what we had seen for the last 4 years or so. And very successful for the most part. Let's be clear about that. But you do want some more explosiveness. You do want to be able to generate some big plays. You don't want to be in a position where it's Lamar Jackson having to do all of it, as was too often the case the last few years, which is a big reason, you know, maybe not a big reason, but part of the reason why he may have gotten hurt the end of the last 2 years. Although I'll remind everyone, he was throwing in each instance. So injuries are going to happen. But if you want to keep Lamar healthy, you want to keep this offense progressing, getting more comfortable. I'm not shocked that it was choppy on Sunday. I mean, we talked about the whole preseason factor in our previous discussion, talking about penalties, but it's a new offense. I don't expect it to look pristine and perfect in week one. What you do want to see, and what is critical for this group, and that's why these injuries do complicate this challenge, you want to see progress. You want to see it look better in week two than it did in week one. For one reason, you're going up against a much better football team in Cincinnati. You want to see it look better in week six than it did in week two. And you certainly want to see it look better in November, December, and January than it's going to look in September and October. It's not to say that you're dismissive of struggles. Lamar Jackson has to be better. He turned the ball over twice, and it could have been a third time. He was not his best football game by any means, but wasn't Joe Burrow's best football game. It wasn't Kenny Pickett's best football game. I mean, there are plenty of quarterbacks around the league, good quarterbacks around the league, that did not have great days. So you know, that's a reminder. It's week one, especially any guys that aren't playing in the preseason at all. Yeah, there's going to be some rust. And Lamar even acknowledged, I need to be better. I was rusty. I hadn't played since basically late November because he got knocked out so early in that December 4th game against Denver last year. So it's not an excuse. He knows he needs to be better, and he certainly has to protect the football at a higher level. And to his credit, over the course of his career, Lamar has generally done that. You know, other than his rookie year where he did fumble a heck of a lot, he hasn't done that a whole lot in his career. So you trust that he'll be better in that way. You trust that the offense will be better and more comfortable as they get their sea legs under them, so to speak. But in the meantime, you get someone like Zay Flowers, who has that suddenness, that athleticism, that ability to make people miss, that the Ravens were hoping they were getting with J.K. Dobbins. And obviously that's not the case. But the only guy they've consistently had over the last 4 years, 5 years, that's done that is who? Lamar Jackson. So if you add Zay Flowers as someone who can do that as well, it's just going to make you better. And those are the kind of players that can cover up other mistakes, other deficiencies, other weaknesses. And certainly with the Ravens having the injury concerns that they already have, you know, with Dobbins long-term and at least short-term with Stanley and Linderbaum, and throw Mark Andrews into that as well, even though I think we'll see him back this week. You know, Zay Flowers, adding him to the mix, his skill set to the mix, that can do a lot to help you and make up for, you know, some weaknesses elsewhere.
You know, we see the game on Sunday, and you have this kid who's a draft pick. They throw him in there. They talk about the fake quarterback battle all summer long. Then you see Richardson running around for the Colts and these other young players out on the field at this point. Lamar's now, like, the guy. All the money, all the offseason, all of the nonsense that went into all of this, it feels like it's a long way away, right? Like, it doesn't feel like there was ever any acrimony, animosity, that John Harbaugh sent me a text last year when he didn't show up in OTAs, which is all true. Lamar wasn't very good Sunday, right? Yeah. Like, and I think there's a point, and maybe this is where you and I really veer down two different yellow brick roads in regard to, you know, getting to the Emerald City, or in this case, the Lavender City, of winning a Super Bowl with this team, right? You think Lamar is a Super Bowl winner, a pile diver. A lot of people do. The Ravens clearly do. A lot of teams don't think that of him. They didn't draft him. They didn't pursue him in the offseason. Nobody pursued him. We talked about this. Nobody really wanted him. Nobody was willing to say, yeah, I'll give you my Anthony Richardson and some friggin' linebacker, and we'll pay him the $52 million a year, and you go take the rookie quarterback and start over again. Ravens didn't want to do that. That would have cost Eric DeCosta and John Harbaugh their jobs, right? Like, 3 years of whatever the Texans look like on Sunday, that would have been unacceptable here. So they went in on Lamar. We can talk about 2019 all you want. You can talk about the injuries all you want. You can talk about the phone booth where he does things nobody else can do. But on a week by week, How's he passing? How's he throwing? They don't want him running. Is he upright? And then what he does when he's out there. Bad team, rust, first time out there. I'll hear all that. He didn't play great. I mean, he didn't play great. Kicking the ball around's not good.
He didn't. Joe Burrow didn't play well either. I mean, Joe Burrow was awful. That might have been the worst game of his career. I mean, and look, he was out for training camp. And again, on a week-by-week basis, yeah, you can chalk it up to whatever you want to. Lamar didn't play well. I'm not going to sit here and defend how he played on Sunday. He didn't play well. But at the same time—
What did Mike Preston give him on the report card? I mean, Chad told me I got to be more like Mike. I better get a Sun subscription is what I need to do. But, I mean, Lamar's a C, maybe C minus.
I think at best he's a C. Yeah. Especially considering the standard, right? I mean, you're talking about, I will bring this up. He is a former NFL MVP. He is a two-time Pro Bowl quarterback in the same way that, you know, Joe Burrow was an F on Sunday for Cincinnati and they were awful, just awful. But it's week one. And we've talked about this with guys who don't play in the preseason. There's rust. In the case of Lamar, I mean, he hadn't played in a real game since early December last year. Now, better be better for on Sunday going to Cincinnati, knowing the Bengals, the urgency that they're going to be playing with. But it's a work in progress. It is. And, you know, to go back to what you mentioned about the, you know, how confident I am in that they're going to win a Super Bowl. I mean, look, you never really know. I mean, there's one guy that you can talk about in today's game because Tom Brady was being honored in Foxborough on Sunday. He's not playing anymore. So there's one guy that you can talk about in the NFL today that has done it more than once. It's Patrick Mahomes. Everyone else is chasing that. Joe Burrow's gotten to a Super Bowl. Josh Allen's gotten to an AFC championship, but he hasn't broken through.
Jared
yet.
Goff, we saw him play and win on Thursday. They had a beautiful win, right?
But he got to a Super Bowl, hasn't won, and he's not regarded as a dude, right? He's not regarded as a franchise.
He is this week by Mahomes.
I mean, but the point is, all of these guys, there's a yeah, but.
Yeah, we wouldn't trade Lamar for Jared Goff, I guess, right? I mean, the fans here wouldn't think that that's an upgrade.
It's a short list. I mean, Jalen Hurts made it to the Super Bowl last year. Was amazing for the Eagles. But until he wins, he's going to be under scrutiny in Philadelphia. And you know, he had a big fumble in that game.
When's the last time Aaron Rodgers was in a Super Bowl?
Right. I mean, there's and you know what? I'm glad you brought him up because I honestly did forget about him for a second when I was saying that he won a Super Bowl back in 2010. Yes, that was 13 years ago. I mean, look, Aaron Rodgers is a multiple-time MVP. He's going to the Hall of Fame, first ballot, no doubt about it. But there were all kinds of talk about him in Green Bay the last several years where, you know, the Packers, a team kind of like how the Ravens have been viewed in the sense of all this regular season success, but they haven't gotten back to a Super Bowl since then, right? So all these quarterbacks have that caveat other than Mahomes. You know, he's the guy who, you know, Matthew Stafford won as, you know, the new guy with the Rams team of, you know, going all in and bleep those picks and all that. And, but you know, it's Mahomes. He's the standard and everyone else is chasing that. So I don't know for sure if the Ravens are going to win a Super Bowl under Lamar Jackson. I'll say this, if they continue to lose J.K. Dobbins and Ronnie Stanley type players every year, then probably not. You know, you have to stay healthy. And I know you even wrote in your columnist this after the game that there's a lot of luck involved in winning a Super Bowl. You know, the 2012 team. Do we forget that they were a Raheem Moore misplay on the Jacoby Jones Mile High Miracle touchdown from going home in the divisional round? I mean, everyone kind of thought it was over, and then it wasn't. So you get a play.
Everybody
like that
in the press box in
everything.
Denver thought it was over, except me, DeCosta, and Newsom. We were the only ones up there.
And just think about if that play doesn't happen, how the perspective or, you know, the perception of Joe Flacco is so different in this town.
I would have sold less about books, and John Harbaugh wouldn't have a job right now.
Joe Flacco would have made less money.
John Harbaugh would be coaching the Lions or something. Yeah.
Flacco would have made less money, and we would have said about him the same thing that people say about Lamar or other young quarterbacks today
Goff
that haven't broken through. He can't win the big one, right? So there's always luck involved. There are always some variables involved, that some good fortune. The ball bounces your way. You stay healthy. You've got a coach who's a perfect fit at the perfect time with the perfect scheme for your players. And, you know, you have just enough guys like a Lamar, like a Zay Flowers, for example, who might be able to eventually cover up some shortcomings here and there. And again, Zay Flowers has played one game. Let's pump the brakes as much as I'm praising him. Hollywood Brown had a historic rookie debut, and he was solid, but he was never better than that. So, you want to temper expectations and understand that, it's a challenge, different challenge every week, but there's still a lot to like about this football team. And it still begins with number 8 under center or in the shotgun, I should probably say, because he's not under center all that much. But, they've got to stay healthy on both sides of the ball. But if you have Jackson healthy all year, which they did not have the last couple of years, and we saw what that meant for them, they're done at that point. Say what you want about, they were a quarterback sneak fumble away from maybe winning in Cincinnati in the wild card round. They weren't going anywhere, though. They weren't making a deep January run with Tyler Huntley. But when Lamar Jackson's healthy and he's back there, and you hope that Todd Monken's system, choppy week one or not, is going to unlock some new elements to Lamar Jackson that we haven't maybe seen in the past. Certainly the wide receiver improvement will help in that. You're hoping that they do have a higher upside, but you got to stay healthy. And unfortunately, it brings us back to the biggest takeaway from week one, which is losing J.K. Dobbins and some other guys to some injuries that you hope are not long-term, but immediately removing Dobbins from the equation doesn't sink their chances, but it doesn't make it any easier. And it certainly leaves their margin for error smaller when you're talking about a player of that caliber, even if he hasn't been on the field for most of the last 3 years now.
He's Luke Jones. He is a Baltimore Luke out on the Instagrams and the interwebs and the Facebooks and the LinkedIns and all those places that we are at WNST. He's going to be at Camden Yards all week. We're going to get some baseball in here. We're going to be at the Nest on Friday night, which is, they didn't really name it after me, but I'm going to have some fun with this. It is underneath the cupcake here on top of the convention center. If you've ever seen the convention center deck where the scalpers used to be, and they used to sell pretzels and sausages at the ballpark on Conway Street at the corner of Conway and literally 395. The foot of the city coming in on Howard Street. You can find us down. I'm going to be there. Sold out game on Friday. I have a Dear Adam Jones note coming out this week. I have a Dear Eric DaCosta letter. My column this off the game is up at BaltimorePositive.com. And of course, Luke is writing 24 hours a day all the time. And we're here doing radio all week. I got a great radio this week. Mike Lombardi's coming on to talk about his new book. I got Kenny Albert's new book, but I'm not having him on this week because he's too freaking busy. Baseball at night, football on the weekend. The Purple Birds going out to Cincinnati this week. And if you're on the WNST text service, you'll get it first. Whenever we get these injury reports on Ronnie Stanley, Marcus Williams looks like more bad news, Tyler Linderbaum, working on getting Mark Andrews back into the lineup as well. Luke is on all of that. On Friday morning, we're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road 9 until noon. At Fadley's, just up the street from Oriole Park at Camden Yards, where all the excitement's going to be going on here as the Rays come to town this weekend. And the Orioles at 40 games over 500, getting all stacked up here for the playoffs and trying to get my October schedule together. We're going to be down at Fadley's in the morning. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I have scratch-offs here, the 50th anniversary. I'm actually going to have the Ravens scratch-offs on Friday. I think I'm also going to have them at the Nest on Friday night as well. Hopefully we get some purple winners as well. 9 until noon at Fadley's. Going to be there with Dr. Anthony Jenkins from Coppin State University, as well as new basketball coach Larry Stewart. So it'll be good to have Stu back on talking about the old NBA days and Fang Mitchell and all that good stuff as well. Brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. Make sure you're taking advantage of the buy one, get one free, or buy two, get two free, excuse me, with Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. And our newest sponsor, Jiffy Lube as well. Curio is aboard sponsoring our columnists and our 25th anniversary, so make sure you're checking that out. Lots of changes up on the website this week, lots of stuff. Luke's got his locker room stuff there, and all of our podcasts are available. Hey, it's football season, and we're throwing a little first-place baseball as well. Been 25 years. I've been waiting a long time for a month like this. I'm Nestor. He's Luke. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore. Positive.